video this week of the headlines kind of caught me. And it said, mega church pastor responds to man shouting profanity from the crowd. And I thought, I have got to see this. It happened to be Ed Newton, who is the man who leads our preaches at our beach camp each year. And what happened was, is one of the church members saw a guy, homeless, invited him to church, just said, hey, come to me. He had already come to the early service. He came to the late service. He came in, and the dude just did what you do. And he was just cussing. He wasn't cussing at Ed, which that would have been interesting. Haven't had that happen yet. But what's interesting is Ed stopped everything and ministered grace and mercy to this man. And I wondered, what happens if we would choose to be obedient to God and reach out into the darkness that we see out in our world? And they came. Would we be offended? Or would we open our arms and say, let us show you the grace of Jesus? I think we would. We'd want to shower grace on them. So if you're tempted today to shout out profanity, I'll try to stop and show grace at that moment. But I haven't had that happen yet, but you never know. I say that because we're going to talk about a real distinction between living in the light and living in darkness. We talked about in chapter 1 how God saves us and we are then placed in right standing with God. So we are either in the light, which means that we are followers of Jesus, or we are in the darkness. And last week, and I'm going to go through a little outline, I re-outlined chapter 1 and chapter 2 just so it would flow a little bit better today. So there were some things that we talked about. Jonathan, a few weeks ago, talked about how the apostles are eyewitnesses of what they had seen, what they had heard, and they are just giving eyewitness of all of these things, saying, this is what we have seen. And then he talks about having fellowship. And so last week we talked about this. So let's begin with this. First of all, we have our standing with God. That means that we are his. So I'm talking to those of us who are Christians. There are three things that are mentioned. First, we talked about how we are transferred into the kingdom of God. If you look in 1 John 5, he talks about that fellowship. This is the message, chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. We looked at Colossians chapter 1 where it said that we have been transferred through the blood of Jesus. We've been transferred from darkness to light. And Jesus is the one who allows for that transfer because of his death on a cross. So we have been transferred. The thing we have to remember is it said here there's no darkness at all. There's no almost. If you are on the path to Christianity, you're still in the dark. There is a move. There is a moment where God rescues us. So if we say, well, you know, I'm on the journey, that's fine, right? You're maybe going toward understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus, but there's only one or the other, no in between, okay? So you are either in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of dark, transferred into the kingdom of light. Then he goes on, and we see that there is unending fellowship with God. We talked about this a little bit last week. If you look at verse 6, verse 7, God's word says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, keeps on cleansing us from all of our sins. So we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and then we have unbroken or unending fellowship with God. Right? Now, here's why that is important. If there's anything that we can do to earn our salvation, then that means there could be something we could do to lose it, right? That makes sense. That means that our doing and our actions allow us either to be in the kingdom or not. But wait a second, that's not what Scripture says. We have been transferred from darkness to light. We have that unbroken fellowship with God, and there's no back and forth. Like, okay, I'm in the light today, and when I sin, now I'm over in the darkness, and then when I do the right thing, I'm over in the light again. No, we're talking about our standing with God. And I know it's hard to get our minds around, but when we receive Jesus, he is the one who saves us. And when we are in his hands, we are in his hands forever. But then he goes on, and another point I wanted to make from that section is that verse 9 that we talk about, and we've read many times. God's word says this, as the apostles are sharing this, this has happened for them and certainly for all of us who are Christians. If we confess our sins, so it's a statement of fact, if we admit that, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because our standing with God is unbroken fellowship with him, and because they're in him, there is no darkness at all, it has to make sense that all of our sins have been forgiven. Past, present, future. So when Jesus died on a cross for our sins, he died for every sin that would be committed, not just those that had from that point, okay? So then you have to say, well, wait, okay, so Jesus paid for all the sins, every sin paid in full, right? Okay, so now let's turn the corner and ask the question, what if a Christian sins? In other words, let's just say we are living in the light, and we already talked about last week how as Christians, we still have that battle with the flesh, right? So we have that struggle. And so here we are living in the light, and we know that there's going to be a battle and a struggle. And I'm not going to ask for all of the Christians in here to say, would you raise your hand if you've ever sinned since being a Christian? Because you were either going to raise your hand or lie and not. We all have sinned. Right? John makes a clear statement of that. So here's the thing. If there's no darkness at all in God and we have unbroken fellowship with him, Jesus died for all of our sins. God's perspective is you are mine. Nothing will take you out of my hands. You are mine. So now we have to look practically. We know that our standing with God is that he holds us in his hand. However, let's lay this out practically. He forgives us, and his forgiveness is not because he is lenient, but because he is just. God didn't look at Jesus and say, you know what, I just feel sorry for these guys. Thank you for doing that. No. God is just and holy and perfect. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. And our forgiveness is not because Jesus just waved at sin and said, never mind. It's because all of our sins were paid for through Jesus Christ. I'd be shouting hallelujah right now if that's me. Right? Jesus paid it all for you and me. So here we stand. We're in the light. We're his. One day we'll be in heaven with him forever. What does it mean, though, to live in the light? And that's where we shift to chapter 2. So let's look. We'll backtrack a little bit because we looked at verse 1 and 2 a little bit, but let's look at it because we're going to see what it means, because John turns the corner and says, okay, my little children, verse 1, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Right. That's how we're supposed to live as people in the light. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Someone asked me this week, so Jesus died for the sins of the world. That means all sins everyone has ever done has been forgiven, whether they receive Jesus or not. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying for any sin to ever be forgiven, it must be forgiven through Jesus Christ. See, if you read it and understand it that way, all the sins of those, anyone who has sinned, who falls on the mercy and grace and justice of Jesus Christ can be forgiven. That's why we can go out and shine the light in the darkness and say with confidence, if a person says, tell me about Jesus, can I know him? We can with confidence say, Jesus died for you. And we can share that gospel with them. No one's sins will be forgiven in any other way except through Jesus Christ. That is the clarity of the gospel. But we see here, as living in the light, that how do we do this? What if we sin? Well, first of all, we have an advocate. Jesus is our advocate. And this is the beauty of the gospel. Our actions do not earn or keep our salvation. I want you to hold on to that. Our actions do not earn our salvation. We don't become a Christian because we do anything. And because of that, we don't keep that salvation because of things that we do, whether good or bad. You see, God's different than we are. We're pretty conditional with our love, aren't we? And certainly conditional with our forgiveness. We're thinking, yeah, you mess with me, you're dead to me. I'll never talk to you again. But see, Jesus, when we are his, that relationship is made right because Jesus, our amazing advocate, stands in the gap for us. And even when we sin, Jesus stands alongside of us for our behalf, on our behalf. And so we have that advocate. I like, John Calvin said this, I like this little quote. It says, the intercession of Christ is a continual application of his death for our salvation. Jesus died once for all, right? Every sin has been paid for. And so it's continually applied to our lives. All right, so now we're living as Christians. We have our advocate. Now what if we sin? I was walking around downtown Waco yesterday with my son, Matthew, and we were kind of talking about this. Whoever's with me on Saturday, you get to hear the sermon in advance. So get to, you heard me say get to, not have to. Honey, thank you so much for listening. But Matthew got to hear it yesterday. We're kind of walking around. He said, Dad, what about, so there's all this deconstruction stuff going on. What about someone who is a Christian who says, I now reject Jesus Christ and God? And I said, well, let's begin. First of all, we start with, is this person a Christian? Now, do you know that? Do I know that? See, the only one that knows that for sure would be God Almighty and you. So for me to say that there's someone who has deconstructed and left the faith, they were a Christian and now they're not, is contrary to Scripture. So we have to think, wait, what does this mean then? Well, a couple of things. First of all, perhaps this person who has decided that they were going to reject God completely, if every sin is even before God, right, whatever the sin may be, even rejecting at this toward the end of your life or whenever it may be, if all sins, if you're a Christian and we're in his hands forever, then it means that either that person was not a Christian to begin with, but that's an easy out. That's easy for us to say, how do we know, right? But it's possible that that could be true, or it could be that this rejection and this season is that wandering in the light away from God. But I can assure you, Scripture says that the Spirit of God continues to woo them back to him. So all of these things we hear when we think of these sins, how could a Christian really live in this lifestyle for a season? Maybe they're not a Christian, but maybe they are. And what's happened is even within the light, here's what I know. According to Scripture, we are his. So when we wrestle with these challenges, it's hard. You're telling me that I could curse God today? I could scream profanity at God and I'm still his? Here's what I'm saying to you. According to Scripture, if you are his and you have been transferred from darkness to light, you can never not be his. That's what I know according to the Word of God. That's a big if. If you're his, you can not be his. How's that for a double negative right there in the middle? All right. Here's the thing I want you to hear. We have these sins within the light. As we're walking in the light, there are these decisions that we make. And he says, if you sin, we have an advocate. As I said last week, a terrible advocate leaves you when you're in trouble. But God, through Christ, is with us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. The earnest, King James uses, of our salvation is with us, never to leave us. So now let's talk practically. Here we are. We're walking in the light. We know we're his. We have decisions that we make as Christians. How do we keep from falling back into sin again and again? And if we do, what do we do? Well, first of all, we have that advocate. But the second thing I would mention is we need to, and there's a word that's used here, abide with our advocate. We defined abide for the context of our series a few weeks ago. Abiding is that posture of dependence on Jesus. I say it's the posture because we have to understand abiding is not something we do. It's a position that we're in. So in other words, we are in the light. We have a standing with God. But now it is while we're living in the light, in this right standing with God, we have that posture of dependence. Because what happens when we sin? What are we doing? We're thinking we know better than God does. We start looking at our ways. We have our own idols, the things that we do. So we begin kind of pushing back on that. So the key is to begin with that abiding. We abide with our advocate. Our fellowship with God is a standing we cannot lose, but abiding is a posture that we must choose. Let that sink in a second. Fellowship is a standing we can't lose. We're His forever. But abiding is something that we must decide to do. Now let's look at the further on in 1 John. I'm supposed to cover four verses today, so I'm going to right now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to these words and just kind of follow what it says. So we know we have an advocate. We know we have Jesus Christ who, when God looks, we are in standing with Him. We are in the light, never to be lost in the darkness. So we're there. But if we sin, listen, verse 3, and by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep our commandments, keep His commandments. Okay, so you have this idea of commandments, of following the things that God, obedience is the result of our posture of dependence, right? If we're depending on Him, then obedience is what should follow. Verse 4, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Two things here. First of all, remember, John is writing and in the background there are false teachers. And so there may be some false teachers say, well, it's not me who sins. I'm not really sinning. It's not me. I have no sin. So he's saying, if you ever hear a pastor, if you ever hear a leader who says, I know Him, but you don't keep His commandments, the truth is not in him. In other words, if you see someone who is living in their lifestyle contrary to what it means to live in the light, then that's a great reason to question the teaching of that leader. That puts a lot of pressure on us guys. Dre, Jonathan, what do you think? That's a lot. We're supposed to be living consistently with what the Word of God says. But he goes on, so, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar. The truth is not in Him. But whoever keeps His word in Him truly, and here's the key, the love of God is perfected. That means that whoever is doing that, whoever is keeps His word is beginning to experience the fullness of the love of God. Isn't that beautiful? By this we know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So now here's your picture. We're in the light. We've been transferred. Our fellowship with Him, done. Now we have decisions to make. We choose to sin or not. We choose to abide. And that is where the obedience comes, from abiding. If we start trying to do the works without spending time with God, we're going to fail again and again and again. It all comes back to abiding, and here he says, in His love. So the more we can experience and understand how God loves us, then the outpouring of that is our obedience, is our walking with Him. But it comes back to depending on Him, waking up each day and say, God, here I am. Help me walk with You. He talks about His word. A few weeks, we'll talk about how we're to love one another as an outpouring of that abiding with Him. So that verse 6, this word abides, that we are to have this posture of obedience with Him. Moses wrote back in the law, and I'll just go back to one verse. It's pretty well known, but verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, he's summarizing the law. He's restating it. Listen to what he says, though. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast, literally clinging to him, for he is your life and the length of days. Now, in order to be true to context, let me keep reading, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. This is going to sound like a just aside, but it's so important because it fits together. God will not break his covenants. And he has made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ that said the blood of Jesus is enough to satisfy the sins of the world. And when we place our faith in him, we are in the light. He also made a covenant with Israel. And this covenant was made many, many years ago. And that covenant does not change because God made a covenant with them that this would be their land and this would be their blessing as they followed him. Now, I think all of us would agree, Israel has not been perfect all along the way. But I want you to hear me say it. God's covenant is with the people, not the nation, the people of Israel. And that is their land. So we can say, well, what about, I'm just telling you, God is faithful to his covenant. And that gives me assurance that if he is faithful to a rebellious people, look at us and how he is faithful to us through Jesus Christ. So we know that it is through that, and that was the Deuteronomy passage. The word abiding is used throughout 1 John. I mentioned it. I'll just tell you a few. We'll get to this in a couple weeks. Verse 10 of chapter 2 says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. If you look at verse 17 in chapter 2, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I'll give you one more, 4:16. So we have come to know and believe the love of God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There is something about abiding in him. So let's go back to what we're talking about. We are in fellowship with God if we are in the light. There's no halfway in the light. We are either in the darkness or in the light. We are now in good standing with him. Within that, we have choices that we make. And we may think, well, does that mean that our choices really don't matter? I can live however I want to. Well, we know Paul addresses this clearly in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who are died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. When God transfers us into the kingdom of light, he does not just do that so we will be in right standing with him. He does that so our lives will change. Okay? This, we have a new standing and we have a new life. That is why, that's where the accountability comes when we are living in the light. We're not to just sin. And here's what I would say. I've never met someone who is a believer who I know as we talk has truly received Christ that celebrates their sin. You have a lot of people celebrating sin these days. I have yet to. Maybe they've been deceived. Maybe there are some. I'm just saying to you, when we think about our lifestyle, if in him there's no darkness, we're in fellowship with him, that means if we are living in the light, the way people live in the dark, then there's got to be the Holy Spirit guiding us back toward him. And there's no way a person can be comfortable living a sin-filled life while living in standing a fellowship with God. There's just no way. Well, let's continue so we can see it. So when we abide with our advocate, we know that in John chapter 15, I won't go into all that, there's a lot, but John chapter 15, I'm going to skip that part, guys, so y'all can jump right past these slides. But it talks about abiding. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. When you abide in me and I in you, you can do nothing unless you abide in the vine. So there's this something. The point is that it starts with abiding. And when we abide in him, that is why where the outflow of doing occurs. When we pull away from God within the boundary of the light, then that's where we get ourselves into trouble. He wants us to choose to be that posture of abiding, abiding in his word, abiding in his truth. So as we are in the light, we are to live as children of the light. I'm going to wrap it up with this one. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and just listen to these words. So now Paul is addressing those of us who are Christians who are living in the light. Now this is the challenge that Paul has for us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Were darkness, now you are light. There's no back and forth. And then it says, the next part, walk as children of the light. How do we do that? For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So we are to seek him. So that's what abiding is. We go to him, we depend on him and say, God, teach me, show me the truth. It looks contrary to what I've heard. I see what the world is saying, but tell me according to your word, what does it say? That's why we always go back. Just like the apostles, they said, come back to what we had taught, what we had seen, what we had heard. We're doing the same thing today. We go back to what the Bible says, not your favorite preacher. What the Bible says, and what is the truth that he is sharing. Let's keep going though. Verse 10, this is Ephesians 5. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. What does that mean? That means that we bring it to light. What does it say though? What are we exposing? Are we exposing people? Are we exposing things? Look down, look at it. What does it say? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. What is them? The works. Still can't condemn a person. We still can't look at someone and say, I judge you and I believe that you can't be a Christian and do that. What is he saying with this? When we look into the darkness, we've got to expose darkness for what it is by holding it up to the light. We're not doing it in a condemning fashion to the person who is living in darkness, because let's be honest, if you're living in darkness, you're living in darkness. You don't have the light of the Lord within you, so it's no shocker that you would live a certain way. Verse 12, for it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, I love this. He quotes Isaiah 60. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. What is he saying here? He's talking about when the Messiah would come, and the Messiah would come and shine light. So what we are doing as people in the light, we are holding up the light of God into the darkness so that they can see it and wake up and be enlightened and know that there is hope through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. That's a whole lot of information, a whole lot. So let me see if I can explain a little more. I just need like 8 people. Let's just go straight down here, 8. Come on, couples, right down here. Come on. Right through here, all the way to Ted and Glenda. Sorry, I know she's taking notes, being so awesome. 8, come right up the stairs over here. 8 people. This is the agreed upon payment that I said before we started church today. Stand right here. All right. So let's see if we can explain this. Let's kind of get over here a little bit further. All right, no, good, just so I can see you. Stand in a line like good purple. Okay. When we are placed on this planet, we are placed with a sin nature. and we are in the darkness. We're not born saved. We're not born in the light. Every one of us is in darkness. The only way that we are transferred is whenever the truth of God illuminates us and we are transferred, not by anything we've done, but because we have chosen to just simply depend on Him, right? So, basically you have the light shining in the darkness. It's pretty bright. So light shines in the darkness. And the Wilmores receive Christ. Yes! And now you're in the light. Go all the way. Don't halfway the light. There's no halfway. Get in the light. I feel like I need to do this because we typically stereotype politicians. So we're going to save Judge O'Hare as well. On behalf of Kristen, she gets to come too. So y'all come closer. Y'all are awesome. But I just felt the need to do that. All right. So how were they? Everyone is born in darkness. Every one of us. The only way you're in the light is we just depend on Him and say, Lord Jesus, I got nothing. And the light of Jesus shines, and now they are here. Is there anything they can do that sends them back there? Why don't you think about it? Well, what if they're in the light, right? They're in the darkness. So now you have people over here, and I'll just use Ted. Ted's one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. Yeah. Wait a second, it's because you don't want me to say anything. Okay, so Ted, if he just starts living the ways of the world, he's just simply doing what you do when you live in darkness. Anyone in this case, they're just simply doing that. So what do they need? A lecture from us? Come on. Is that what it is? Oh, let's just lecture them. You should not be doing that. You should not be this. You should not be that. That's because that's really going to help, isn't it? What are we going to do? We're in the light. Is there anybody in the darkness that can help somebody get out of the darkness? It's got to be somebody over here. Somebody who has been in the light. One of us, we have to shine the light into the darkness. Right? All right. We may let y'all in the light in just a moment, but you just hang out right here. So now we're in the light. And there's sin. Do you have to head back? Yeah, what about really bad sin? I mean, really, really bad. Because you're in the right standing with God. But here's the thing. Our job here is to shine the light in the darkness. I'll try not to blind anybody. So that those in darkness will see the light. But what about if Kristen starts living like Ted over here? I mean, that would be good like in real life, but I'm just saying. What happens? She doesn't get transferred over, but what happens? The light of God has to be illuminated as you look at His word and see the truth. The same light that transforms you or transfers you over is the light of the gospel that we read in His word that illuminates our heart. And how does that happen? When we abide in Him. So if we understand the position that we have, if we are Christians, if we have received Him, we have been transferred, never to be transferred back. And because of that, every day we should rejoice that we are His. And we can't lose that. However, it should also motivate us to not live like people in darkness, but to live like people in the light. How do we pull that off? We abide. We wake up every day and we depend on Jesus and say, I don't have the strength. And He says, I do. I don't even know the answers, but I do. And so living in the light, we begin living in a posture of obedience, dependence, and obedience to Him. praise God, we have an advocate that if we sin, he stands in the gap for us. But then he empowers us and sends us out to live like people in the night, not like people in darkness.
Thank you so much for listening.